Hello and welcome to Diversionary Spark New Play Festival. Matt Morrow here, Executive Artistic Director. Thanks for tuning in. Spark is a vital part of our work at Diversionary. It not only fulfills our vision to support and amplify the next generation of LGBTQ voices, it also serves as a stepping stone to future development and production opportunities for these plays and playwrights. This year, we are doing things a little differently. We are offering these works solely through an auditory platform. This way, the focus of the work stays on the playwright's words and not on their Zoom backgrounds. I hope you can plug in your earbuds, sit back, and conjure the fascinating and diverse worlds of these plays in your imagination, fostering a more potent connection to these compelling stories. Special thanks to the sponsors of Spark, Bill and Judy Garrett. You do so much for San Diego Theater, Bill and Judy. We are grateful for your support of new work. Now, without further ado, Diversionary's Spark New Play Festival.
Best Lesbian Erotica, 1995, by Miranda Rose Hall, setting America, 1995. Part 1, Best Lesbian Erotica, All Holy Saints Grace Lutheran Church.
Labia mia, labia mia, labia mia, domine.
Okay, ladies, that's close, but this is Diversionary Theater, so we've got to get our pronunciation right. Repeat after me. Labia mia.
Labia mia.
Labia mia.
Labia mea.
And now this time just Francis. Labia mea.
Excuse me, isn't this a concert?
I haven't seen your lips moving. Labia mea.
Maybe we should take a break.
A break? Fine. 10 minutes. Sorry, everyone.
Hey, Marcia, thanks. I didn't know we could stop a concert.
Well, stranger things have happened, I guess. We could go down to the bathroom.
Go down on me?
What?
I said thanks for sticking up for me.
Anytime.
My pants are wet.
Yes, mine too. It's raining.
Yeah.
Nice song.
Yes.
Definitely part of the Lutheran Church's...
Greatest tits? I meant greatest tits. I meant great tits.
I like the way you open your lips and the sound that comes out. I meant when you're... When your mouth is open and my part comes in, I mean...
Alto?
Yes.
I like the way that this church song makes me want to fuck you.
Lather up! Guys, listen. This is What's Up. I'm home alone, and it's time for a regular shower. I drop my Power Ranger boxer shorts on the bubble couch, and I toss off that vintage 92 election tee. Clinton Gore on the floor. I turn on the shower and the steam is rising, and through the fog and the scent of my herbal essences, what's that? Oh my God! The woman of my dreams coming into my bathroom?
The singing, dancing lesbians enter the steamy bathroom.
Hey, Tracy.
Me?
Yeah.
We want you.
We can't let it rest.
We want your lips.
We want your banging breasts. You've got that wit.
Those sexy Power Rangers.
Girl, we're so turned on.
Caution, shower danger. Cause it's 1995. And we are fucking lesbians in 1995. It's time for some erotica.
So it's gonna get slippy.
And it's gonna get hot.
And if you get sick, you can use my neti pot.
Yes! We've got punk hair.
And we've got shoulder pads.
We want dykey sex.
And we want it bad.
We would love to snuggle with our soft and cushy flannel.
Or baby, use your brain with a brand new History Channel.
Cause it's 1995 and we are fucking lesbians in 1995. It's time for some erotica.
Wait.
Hold on.
Stop.
What's wrong? Is this like some... identity song? Guys.
Is this your fantasy? Because I cannot subscribe to some monolithic identity.
I'm taking a shower.
It's so 80s.
It's so oppressive.
Are we not going to have sex anymore?
Well, I don't know. I don't have short hair.
And I don't have shoulder pads.
And I hate punk.
And I don't approve of educational TV. Hold on! Finger check! We've got short nails!
I've got short nails!
Because it's 1995, and we are fucking lesbians in 1995. It's time for some erotica.
This is everything I've dreamed of.
You're everything we've dreamed of. Because it's 1995, and we are fucking lesbians in 1995. It's time for some erotica.
Real good time.
Welcome to my bike shop, Wheel Good Time. My name is Brandy. I'm the womb manager.
I'm Starla. I'm looking for a new bike because my old bike just broke down on the way to a full moon gathering.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. But I came in today because I want to take a really fucking hot bike home with me today.
How about this one? It's called the Emancipator.
No, I'm looking for something a little less patriarchal.
Oh, props to you. How about the cherry blossom?
Don't you have anything with a few more gears?
Well, Starla, if you're looking for something with more of a spectrum, might I recommend the explosion?
Oh my God.
Obviously, you've noticed the gorgeous stem and these easy grip handlebars. But some of the subtler features are worth noting too, like these sprockets and its rear derailleur.
That's such a nice rim job.
The explosion is a master of the quick release.
But it's always tricky, isn't it, trying a bike when it's new? I like to see how they feel once they've been worn in a little.
I ride the explosion.
I'd love to give yours a try.
Well, then go ahead and mount it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Uh-huh.
That feels so good.
Uh-huh. You look great up there.
I really like riding your seat. I can totally see myself riding this for a really long time. Like, really, really riding it. Like, over a really rocky terrain or dressed up in a costume.
Do you want it?
Do I want it? Press your uterus against my uterus.
Oh! Oh!
Explosion!
Farmer Dyke. Hey, I'm a Farmer Dyke. I put the gay in irrigation. See this tat? It's the phases of the moon. Starts here, ends here, except it never ends. I got some crops here to share with you, baby. I got this carrot. And I got this cucumber. Man, look at this cucumber. Good for just about any occasion. And there's a really nice bush right here. A nice, healthy bush right here. You ever wonder how to get to the fruit in the bush? You just go over to the bush, stick your hand in the bush very gently, just use your fingers and tickle. Just tickle, tickle, tickle with as many fingers as you can. Tickle the bush, just tickle the bush, and the fruit just comes out into your hand. Great! So, how about we sample something? I think I'll sample this ripe, juicy peach. Wow. Wow, it's so juicy and soft and wet. Wow, I'm getting this all over my face, all over my fingers, dripping down my... 'cause you know us farmers love getting dirty.
Transamerica Trucking Co.
I've been on the road about 4 months. I'd left Nevada and I wasn't looking back. Good riddance, Reno. Good evening, open road.
No one to celebrate my birthday with? Oh, I'll find somebody to celebrate my birthday with.
Sure gets lonely, commercial trucking.
I pull up to Clucky's roadside dive to discover what awaited. Huh, another steel worker? An Alaskan bush pilot?
Not sure who I'm looking for, but I know Western Pennsylvania will be just the place to find them.
I walk in and...
Rex and Eddie walk in to the bar. They see each other. Activate primal mode.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Going postal.
My name's Connie, and I woke up this morning feeling horny and exceptional. And oh my god, look at that perfectly androgynous, federally employed, smoking hot delivery person.
I've got a package for a Connie Lingus.
Consent.
Consent.
The Tracy Chapman Animal Welfare Concert. Anita and Yolanda come out with a very large and tacky banner which says, "The Tracy Chapman Animal Welfare Concert." Out of view, two lesbians start to have very loud sex.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Anita and Yolanda try to remain composed. The lesbian sex is so hot.
Yes, just like that.
Okay, yes, right there, baby. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Anita and Yolanda try really hard to remain composed.
My God. So good.
Yes.
Like, oh, my God.
The lesbian sex is so hot.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Anita and Yolanda cannot remain composed anymore. They run off stage to have hot sex. With each other. The revolution's coming.
Hey, Riot Girl. I've been watching you. I saw that article you wrote in the most recent zine about girl styles of revolution, and girl, I'm so over this Christian capitalist system, too. So how about we make our own womanifesto? I made this card to start us off. It's a diagram of a vagina. And that's right. This public cervix announcement, it's all about sexy biology, because Riot Girl, you're my natural selection. I want to evolve with you. I'm like, I don't need no dentist for my uterine cavity. I just want to kiss you on the inner and the outer lips. Because I'll tell you, the Berlin Wall might have fallen 6 years ago in 1989, but I am still falling for the walls of your vagina. And I don't care if it's dry, because that means we can start a fire. And I don't care if it's wet, because that's my favorite slip and slide. You're so perfect, just the way you are. Your body hair is so beautiful, and that ass tat of Emma Goldman. Oh my God. Her smile looks so much better with some dimples. Girl, I just can't get enough of this womb with a view. I feel like Archimedes because I'm like, urethra, I found it. And I'm so over this patriarchal baseball metaphor bullshit. Unless, of course, we're talking about leagues because you'd be an all-star in labia majors or minors. Can I get a high men? Girl. The revolution's coming, and so am I.
The government employee role play orgy.
Uh-huh. And you are?
Oh, I'm Nancy from HR.
Oh, Nancy from HR.
Yes, I'm here for the government employee role play orgy.
Government employee role play orgy. Of course. That's in my office. Come with me. All right, government employees, Nancy from HR has finally arrived. As you know, I'm Monica. I'm facilitating this meeting. I'll let you introduce yourselves.
I'm the fax machine repair guy. You might be confused when it comes to technology, but I know what to do with every single inner part.
Is this coming through in the speakerphone? Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Good. I'm the telephone receptionist. I press a lot of buttons, and I also undo them.
I'm your deputy supervisor. I'm here to evaluate your skills. I'm harsh with my evaluations. I brought my whip, just in case you need some incentive to work harder.
Oh, and what's this? A special arrival. The Secretary of Labor.
Hi, I'm the Secretary of Labor. I believe in fair labor practice. Who are you?
I'm Nancy from HR.
Well, Nancy from HR, let me just check something. Yep, just what I thought. That shirt you're wearing was made by child workers in China. Better take that off.
Orgy.
Lick, pinch, suck, rub.
Orgy.
Slap, bite, squeeze, fuck.
Orgy.
Yes. Almost. Yes.
Almost. Faster.
More.
Just.
The explosion of a homemade 7,000-pound bomb. Part 2. The Oklahoma City Bombing.
I'm talking to my coworkers, and suddenly, boom! The earth shakes. My coworker comes over to me and asks, "Isn't your baby in the daycare in the federal building?" I say, "Oh my God, he is." I rush outside. I see a column of smoke where my son is supposed to be.
The telephone rings. My husband, who works downtown, is on the line. He says there's been a bomb.
I'm a firefighter. Been on the force 10 years. The bomb goes off at 9:02, and I'm there by 9:10. People, even blocks away, feel a rush of wind go past their face. Shatters the glass windows of the library a couple of blocks away. Cars catch fire. There's civilians in distress everywhere, running in and out of the smoke. People running out with blood streaming down their bodies. People running out holding bodies, holding pieces of bodies. Everyone running for their lives.
Where's my baby? Where's my baby? I'm calling and calling. A flood of people surges around me, screaming, crying, running. A rescuer brings me a child and says, "Is this your child?" No. A man runs by with a gash in his leg, a woman with no arm, a woman whose face is burning off. Another rescuer brings another child. "Is this your child?" No.
LOM City is a military compound in rural Oklahoma. Just follow Interstate 40. It's a straight shot east from Oklahoma City. By April 95, I'd been there about a year and a half. I'd completed my machine gun training. Things were getting scary, and I was trying to find a way out. The ATF caught wind of me and hired me to inform. I thought informing might be my way out.
This morning, I am home with my oldest child, Khalil. He is 3, about to be 4. I am pregnant with my daughter, 7 months. My daughter's name will be Layla. I'm sitting on the couch in our beautiful living room, sunlight streaming in through the windows. Khalil is playing in the sunlight on the carpet. He says, "I am a cat. I sleep in the sun that comes in through the windows."
My husband and I have 3 sons. Our youngest son is 5 years old. I always help him dress in the morning. I kiss the smooth skin on his shoulder. I comb out his hair. That Thursday, we chose a Barney sweatshirt. I hate Barney. But my son loves him. We sing the song together as we're putting on his socks.
I would describe Elohim City as a radical place. Members of the White Aryan Resistance, neo-Nazis, strong anti-government sentiment. At the time of my involvement, I did have a swastika tattooed on my shoulder. I no longer have that mark.
My husband takes the 2 older boys to school. I take my baby. I drop him off at America's Kids Daycare Center on the 2nd floor of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. I wait a few minutes to make sure he's all right. He's playing with friends. He's started to color. I wave goodbye. I walk across the street to work.
There are warning signs. But as far as I'm concerned, the government doesn't listen. Take April 19th, for instance, Patriots Day. It is a holy day for the American radical right. April 19th, 1775, shots were fired at Lexington and started the American Revolutionary War. April 19th, 1943, Warsaw burned. April 19th, 1993, feds attacked the radical right at Waco, Texas. April 19th, 1995, the day the government sets for Richard Snell's execution. If the government wants to understand the Oklahoma City bombing, they've got to understand Richard Snell. Snell is a leader of the radical right, a leader to those that owe him. And him sitting on death row means that all of his unrealized dreams are bound to transfer hands. I try to tell the ATF, you cannot execute Snell on April 19th. The right sees this as a slap in the face and they are getting agitated. I said there could be repercussions, serious repercussions, but as far as I'm concerned, the government didn't listen.
When he gets tired of being a cat, we turn on Sesame Street. We are practicing counting in English, 5, 4, 3, 2. He says, I will teach the baby to count. I will teach her like a cat, 5, 4, 3, 2.
How can this happen in Oklahoma?
My son is on the floor. I do not tell him what has happened. I leave him in the living room to go to the kitchen and turn on the news. Already they are reporting the bombing on almost every channel. And the more I watch, the more I hear the newscaster saying, we suspect the work of international terrorists. They say the work of radical Islamist terrorists. My heart is racing. My mind is pounding. I turn off the news. I turn on the kettle for a cup of tea.
There's no doors, no windows, no entrance to the building. The first few floors are underground now, and their sprinklers are going off. Rescuers are up to their knees in water. Wires are hanging down from the ceiling, loose wires. I try to get up on a higher level.
Finally, a third one comes out with a child. The child's face is covered in white dust. He's bleeding from his head. He's crying and crying. I do not recognize this child, but I sort of recognize the outfit. It has a big purple dinosaur. Is this your son? Yes, he is mine.
I get in. There's still victims crushed under concrete, and the concrete continues to fall. Loose, hot wires dangling. Bodies dangling from higher floors. You look through everything, trying to find the victims. I spot a woman's hand sticking out the rubble. I rush to the hand. I touch it. The hand responds. I call into the rubble. A woman's voice responds. I don't tell her she's buried in a mountain of concrete. I tell her, ma'am, I am a firefighter, and I'm going to do everything I can to get you out. You're gonna be okay. We're going to do everything we can to get you out. You're gonna be okay. I start taking down the mountain piece by piece. I keep calling out to her. She keeps mumbling back. I talk to her as much as I can. Stay in there. Hang in there. I'm going to get you out. Her mumbles get quieter. I'm going as fast as I can. I'm one layer of rubble away from her now. That's when the radio calls in. They say there's another bomb scare. We need all rescuers out immediately. I tell her I have to go out for more tools. She mumbles. I touch her hand. She responds. I go.
And suddenly, crash. A brick flies through our living room window. The glass shatters everywhere. My son shrieks, but he is safe on the couch. I grab my son. I grab our phone. I rush into the bathroom.
My son has ruptured eardrums, a broken nose, broken ribs, a bruised brain.
Brick, brick, brick.
His skin is burned off. There is debris in his body.
Khalil has wet himself. He is crying. I can hardly breathe.
The rescuers say it's a good sign he's crying. Most children they find aren't crying.
Brick, brick. Then a horrible pinching right here with the baby. I can hardly breathe.
We're out of the building for what feels like an eternity. No one knows if the attack is over.
I hold him all the way to the hospital.
When we're let back in, I rush back to the woman. I touch her hand, no response. I call out, no mumble. I throw off piece after piece till I get to her body. Her head has a slab of concrete jamming against her temple. The blood is still wet in her hair. A sterling silver cross around her neck. She has no pulse. She's gone. I uncover the rest of her body. I have no concept of how long this takes, maybe an eternity. I carry her body out of the building. 1:30, they establish a temporary morgue at the First Methodist Church, 4th and Robinson Avenues. I take her there. I drink one bottle of water, then I go back in.
I did what I could to warn them. I told them about Snell. I handed over weapons. I handed over messages. I told them something terrible was brewing. The ATF was pressuring me for details, but I'm a woman, so I don't get a lot of details. Now they're crazy about asking me if I've seen their John Doe number one and John Doe number two. I believe I did see Timmy McVeigh at Elohim, but I didn't realize at the time it was the same Timmy who... He called Elohim a lot. Under the alias Tim Tuttle, I didn't know. I didn't know enough to be specific, but here's the other side of the coin. I asked them to be patient. I asked them to take action on the facts I did give them, and instead, they dropped me as an informant.
The doctors wrap his whole face except his eyes. He looks like Halloween, like a little mummy head. I refuse to watch the news in his presence. I hide the remote in the hospital room.
At last, my husband arrives. I can hardly stand. He helps me through the living room. All of the windows are gone. Shards of glass everywhere. Hardly time to look. When we get into the car, he says, "You should remove your veil, my love. If we want the doctors to see us, we should not look so Arab."
We wait. We wait.
The hospital is overflowing. There are victims from the bombing. I avoid everyone's gaze. I am too afraid they will think I am responsible for their suffering. I cannot feel my baby.
My husband says the rescuers say they find pieces of diaper with the limbs of a baby.
It is an emergency delivery. My daughter is 2 months premature. I push, and she comes out in one wet bundle. Her arms are still at her sides. Her lungs are still in her chest. She is still everywhere.
We wait and wait.
She's gone.
We turn over every piece of that building looking for survivors. A post-it note, the grocery list, a pile of signed checks, Marine insignias, a hand, a child's sweater, a man's leg, a wall with photos of Bill Clinton and Al Gore perfectly intact. I think I have to keep doing everything I can. I think something I am doing must be worthwhile. Three bodies crushed by a crumbling wall. A bloody briefcase, a high-heel shoe. I examine each piece of rubble. Any piece of rubble could lead to a survivor. 10:10 p.m., a team takes the last survivor out of the building. I watch them emerge. Everything else is carnage. I've worked over 12 hours, so they send me home.
We spend weeks in the hospital. We wait and wait.
I tell them I cannot stay in this hospital. We cannot stay at our house. We find a hotel.
I feel like I have lived the past 3 years entirely underground. I learned to walk, talk, think in secret. And it still wasn't enough.
The windows cost hundreds of dollars to replace. No one ever finds the men who throw the bricks. The newscasters never apologize. My husband disassembles the crib.
My girlfriend is waiting at the door. I collapse into her arms. The news is already on. We sit there together and watch. And watch. That's when I get my first sense of the scope. When it stops being piece by piece, it paralyzes me. I can't move. I can't breathe. I can't get out of bed for 2 days straight. It takes my pastor and my girlfriend 2 days to help me out of bed and help me back to that site.
My son survives. He heals. 6 of the children survive out of the whole class.
We watch the memorial on TV. We hear President Bill Clinton speak and the pastor, Billy Graham. In the audience, the people who have lost their loved ones hold enormous, stupid teddy bears. Everyone, it seems, is holding a teddy bear. I hold my son and my husband.
Operations stop officially May 5th, shortly after midnight. They believe there are three bodies still left in the rubble, but the site is so dangerous, we have to leave them be.
As far as I'm concerned, this is the reality. April 19th, 1995, when those officers in Arkansas execute Richard Snell, he's already heard the news about the bombing. He thinks of himself as a martyr, and he goes to his grave in a state of peace. I'm not sure if he knows exactly who's responsible, but I'm sure he thinks his revolution has finally come. The people at Elohim rejoice. Eventually, the country catches up to Elohim. People piece together that April 19th, 1995, it's Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, assisted by many others, who, on the morning of Richard Snell's execution, take on Richard's unrealized dream. They plant a Ryder truck in front of the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City and detonate a homemade 7,000-pound bomb. It is powerful enough to collapse the north side of the building. It is the largest domestic terror attack to ever occur in the United States.
I wish with all my heart I could say I'm a hero. But all I can do is think to myself, if there were one person I could have saved.
Rescue operations continue for days. Three bodies remain undiscovered. After the courts have collected enough evidence from the site, the Oklahoma City officials demolish what's left of the building. It falls on May 23rd at 7:02 a.m.
They find the bodies of the last three victims exactly where they expect them to be. All in all, 168 casualties, including the nurse who was fatally wounded by a piece of debris. 15 of the casualties are children under the age of 6.
When they say the names of the dead, I say the name we had chosen for our daughter.
It's a blessing I do not take for granted.
Layla.
This is what they're building in the backwoods of this country. These seeds of hate.
Layla.
That bomb blew all the way through to our red Oklahoma clay.
And the government doesn't want to believe it.
Layla.
Even our clay.
I was on the north side of the building. I'd worked in the Social Security Administration for 24 years. We just started a training on new benefits procedurals. The bomb went off, the building collapsed, and I died instantly. It feels like a very old story now. I'm sure it happened centuries ago. Yes, a very old story, I think.
Part 3, Rocky Mountain National Park. Joe and Michael are hiking.
Look at it!
Joe!
Yeah?
You break the tree line?
Yeah!
The thing fell off again. I'm coming.
Hey.
That's it.
We made it.
We made it.
You okay?
I'm fine. You okay?
Yeah. Look at it. Hard to believe.
Hard to believe.
It just doesn't stop, does it? It just doesn't stop being so
big.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So quiet. I can hear my breath in my lungs after all those branches.
I'm really sorry. Again, about that branch.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Michael, it's okay. It's behind us.
Well, we should pitch the tent.
There's time, isn't there?
Well, there's still light.
I want to look over the edge.
Go explore. I'll get set up. 8-hour hike, and I'm ready for rice. Aren't you ready for rice?
But this is your place.
Joe.
For a moment.
What's a moment?
To show me. Place where it all began.
Well, I didn't begin here. I was born in a hospital.
I know.
I wasn't raised in a national park.
I know.
Just so we're clear about that.
But this is your place. Whole reason we're moving.
Not the whole reason.
To be close to this?
There's a lot of reasons.
But this is one.
Sure.
And we're here now, so show me.
Well, This is the... And over there is... And it speaks for itself, I think.
So that's the lake.
The lake. Yes. It's still warm enough to...
Skinny dip. Where you learn to fish.
Fish. Yep.
And those are the rocks. Oh, Michael.
Yep. Well...
Birthplace of all your lesbian fantasy.
Yeah. So that's the tour.
You want to go down? To the rocks.
Well, you know me, I could always go.
Come on.
Now?
Fuck the tent.
The rice.
I want to have fantasy rock sex.
I'm hungry.
Oh, I'm hungry too.
Joe.
Okay, sit down.
I'm going to get grumpy.
I know.
I'm already grumpy.
I know. Sit down. Just be amazed by beauty.
I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize.
It's different.
I bet.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
It's just different. With you. In a good way.
Really?
Yeah. I think she would have liked you. I think she would have really liked you. I have to think that my mom would have been okay with me, with us. Even though Colorado is... what self-respecting gay person moves back to the state where they are trying to pass legislation that makes discrimination on the basis of sexuality 100% legal?
It's a risk.
Am I an idiot? Am I totally insane?
All we can do is try.
And we can go back. Whenever you need.
We need.
We need.
Yeah. But your dad is really okay with...
He can't wait to meet you.
It's really...
Yes. He's beyond thrilled. We'll call when we get to a payphone tomorrow. You got quarters?
Yeah.
Great.
What?
Nothing.
You're smiling. What?
Nothing. I was just... imagining... you... at this burger place, Eddie's.
Eddie's.
We will stop there on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have this special sauce. The flamethrower. And I was just imagining you with a really messy burger and the flamethrower sauce just dripping down your chin.
Sounds a lot better than rice.
Yeah.
You wanna...
I wanna show you something.
Oh, yeah?
I picked this for you on our way up. It's been in my pocket. Sorry, but this is my favorite flower. It's a columbine. And if you are going to live in Colorado, the centennial state, you should probably know what it means to me.
Okay.
Okay. So this beautiful purple flower is a Colorado native. And like many Colorado natives, it is a hardy perennial. It likes dry soil and can go without mulching or protection in winter. And, oh, and you can eat this part, actually. It is sweet and refreshing. You can take the petals off one by one and lick them one by one. And you can suck the stamen.
Mm.
Notably, this root, though, is poison. So do not eat the root. But its common name comes from the Latin word for dove, and it brings a feeling of peace to my heart and peace to my brain and peace to me. And there is no person on earth I would rather be sitting with in this peace and expanse. No person on earth I would rather fall asleep with in this beauty or have sex with on that rock. No person on earth I would rather start over with again and again and again and... It doesn't matter how difficult it is. I just want to share my life with you.
Me too.
And I want to absorb you right here like this so that I can remember forever how right my entire life felt looking at you your very first night in Colorado.
Me too.
Well, thanks. We should pitch the tent.
Hold on. One moment.
Okay.
Here, like this. Looking. How complete and enormous. How the sky and the water, the mountains, Michael. And it just doesn't stop.
The end.